Good morning. You've queued up the audio version of today's Offbeat Oregon Du Jour entry. Offbeat Oregon Du Jour is an RSS service that brings you a new story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History newspaper column every day in your choice of text and image or audio-only formats. Right now, you're listening to the audio version. Offbeat Oregon Du Jour brings you true stories from Oregon history. Stories of heroes and rascals, of shipwrecks and lost gold, of Shanghai'd sailors and Skid Road bordellos and pirates and robbers and buried treasure and unsolved mysteries and just all sorts of great stuff like that. The stories are real, and citations to the sources are included with the text version. To get these delivered regularly, direct your podcatcher to ofor.us/p as in podcast and subscribe. If you'd rather read them and see the pictures that go with them while you're waiting in line at Starbucks or doing something like that, direct your newsreader to ofor.us/t as in text. If Offbeat Oregon History had a movie rating, it would probably be rated PG. Also, all the columns are covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. You can find out more about that on the Creative Commons website, but it basically means you can use the information for anything you want. Commercial, non-commercial, you can mix it up, you can add stuff to it, take stuff out of it, as long as it's properly attributed. Today's column was first published on March 5th, 2011. Its headline is, Chinese Blockade Runner Saved Woman and Her Baby, Then Vanished. The summary. In Gold Rush-era Oregon, the most skilled miners were probably the Chinese, but they were in constant danger. To avoid being robbed, they entrusted their gold to professional couriers who masqueraded as penniless vagabonds. This is a story from the life of one of them, a man we know only as Chang. Here's the story. Chang was on his way to a southern Oregon mining outpost one evening during the heyday of the California Gold Rush when he saw the wagon. It was slumped down in the road, hunched over a broken axle. But it obviously had only recently been abandoned. Its canvas cover was still in fine shape. It would make a good shelter for the night, he thought. He pulled open the flap. A terrified scream rang out. Peering inside, Chang saw a starving, frightened woman holding a tiny newborn baby. She soon calmed down when she saw that her visitor was just a mild, unassuming Chinese man dressed in rags. Chang did not look in the least bit dangerous. He didn't look like much of anything, really. That was the secret of his success, and that was probably the reason he was still alive. Chang opened his bag and started pulling things out. Food, of course, was the first order of business. But Chang also had a wide assortment of herbs and extracts used for traditional Chinese medicine, so he brewed up a strengthening decoction for the woman and her baby. They would need their strength to get out of the predicament they were in. Their wagon axle had broken a week before, and the woman's husband had taken the horses and set out to find help. There had been no sign of him since. Why he had taken both horses instead of just one wasn't clear. Perhaps he wanted to avoid drawing attention to the wagon with his little family inside. In any case, they couldn't wait for him. So as soon as the woman had her strength back, Chang guided her to the nearest town. He stayed just long enough to make sure she was safe there, staying with the local stabler's family while waiting and hoping for her husband to be found. Then Chang disappeared into the night like a phantom. The last thing he wanted was the attention of any kind, good or bad. If he stayed in the town, he could count on plenty of both. Gratitude for saving a life, mixed with suspicion that he'd had something to do with the husband's disappearance. It didn't matter. Any kind of publicity could be deadly for him. Chang was a courier for the frontier Chinese community. During the Gold Rush, as many as 20% of miners in southern Oregon and northern California were Chinese. They worked the rejected tailings of less patient miners, getting surprising amounts of gold out of them. They tried to be as inconspicuous as they could, and they lived in little segregated camps in the field, hoping a combination of invisibility and numbers would help protect them from drunks, bullies, and robbers. And they needed all the protection they could get, Frontier Chinese society offered them almost nothing. The law covered Chinese immigrants only barely, and in the most egregious cases, such as the massacre of 34 miners in Hell's Canyon in 1887. A murder here, a robbery there, few non-Chinese people cared, and that included sheriffs and judges. So Chinese miners couldn't just pack up their gold dust and ride to Portland to buy things with it. They were too tempting a target. To get their gold out of the field and buy things they needed, Chinese herbs, dried exotic seafoods and vegetables, even opium, they turned to professionals like Chang. Chang was part of an elite group of what you might call blockade runners. In effect, he was a smuggler, just not an illegal one. On a visit to a camp, Chang would pick up the miners' gold and bring it to one of the two major Chinatowns, San Francisco and Portland. Here the gold would be handled by trusted shopkeepers, divided out on different miners' accounts, sent home to family members in China, and used to pay for supplies. Chang would then return with those supplies. It was on such a trip that he came across the starving woman. To safely deliver such valuable cargo took a special kind of skill. He was very cautious, Chang's descendant, Dave Chang, told magazine writer Robert Joe Stout in an interview, and never wore good clothing or let on in any way that he was carrying thousands of dollars concealed among his rags. The younger Chang, a San Francisco resident, told Stout his ancestor made a point of not paying cash for things on the way. He'd trade labor for what he needed, like a 1930s hobo, working as a deckhand to earn passage on a ship or shoveling out someone's stables in exchange for permission to sleep in them for the night. And Dave Chang's memories of family stories are probably the best documentation we'll find of the exploits of his remarkable ancestor and his colleagues. The fires that broke out after the 1907 earthquake hit San Francisco's Chinatown especially hard, and most of their records are now lost. We still don't have basic information about how many Chinese people there were on the West Coast, or what they were dying from. It's possible that entire pogroms were carried out in the hills of Gold Country, and no one knows about it today. It's also possible, almost certain in fact, that many more deeds of heroism and compassion done by Chinese pioneers have been utterly lost to history. As for the woman in the wagon, her fate has mostly been lost to history too. But through discreet inquiries, Chang was able to learn that her husband never reappeared. She finally gave up and moved with her baby back to Tennessee with her parents. That's it for today. You just heard Chinese Blockade Runner Saved Woman and Her Baby Then Vanished by Finn J.D. John. That would be me, and I wrote and published this at first on March 5th, 2011. If you'd like to see the art for this story or print out a hard copy for any reason, you can look it up on the website at offbeatoregon.com. So that covers us until tomorrow, when we'll upload a story about the legend of a Buddhist monk from China, who some people think may have actually, quote, discovered Oregon 1,600 years ago. So until then, stay out of trouble and have a wonderful day.